Torch Song Trilogy is back on Broadway now. Simply Torch Song and Simply Wonderful. Harvey Fierstein's hilarious and heart-smashing story of Arnold Beckoff, a young gay Jewish man looking for love, a family of his own, and bunny slippers, first debuted in 1982. Now we first meet Arnold as a heavily made-up preening drag queen talking to the audience as he dresses, played now by Michael Urey.
The person that thinks he's mature enough to handle an affair that's hopeless from the beginning is the same person who keeps the publishers of Gothic romance up to their tragic endings in Mink.
We watch as Arnold matures, has a relationship with a closeted, eventually married man named Ed, played by Ward Horton. They remain friends and later have a weekend getaway. Ed with his understanding wife, Laurel. Arnold comes with his new young love, Alan. Except Ed and Arnold end up cuddling together.
I could have kept you.
You think so? In all my time with Laurel, I never cheated on her once. And believe me, our relationship allows for it.
If your relationship allows for it, then it's not cheating.
Are you making a pass at me?
Then, years later, we meet an older, wiser Arnold. He's fostering a troubled gay teen. Enter his overbearing mother, played by Mercedes Rule.
You talk to your brother?
Yeah, he was over for dinner last week.
Yeah, he bring a girl with him?
Ma hates Arnold's homosexuality. He's still mourning the recent death of Alan and thinks that maybe that loss will bridge the gap between them because, as he points out, his mom is mourning the loss of Daddy, her husband.
Oh, wait. Are you trying to compare my marriage to you and Alan? Your father and I were married for 35 years, had two children, and a wonderful life together. You have the nerve to compare yourself to that?
I'm talking about the loss.
What loss? What loss did you have? You fooled around with some boy.
Simmering rage explodes. It turns out Alan was beaten to death by kids with baseball bats. Kids like you, Arnold tells his mom as she storms out. We sat down with a much more relaxed Mercedes Rule and Michael Urey. They're both stage veterans, but still, this is Harvey Fierstein's Torch Song. Michael Urey, any trepidation about stepping into these? They're bigger shoes just because it's a bigger actor. Harvey, he's bigger. But any trepidation about stepping into those shoes?
Yes, because I knew the play. I'd read it in high school. But the idea that I would be Arnold was never on my radar. Really, when I first read it, Ed was the character that I most responded to because I was in Texas and 16, and I thought that's more like me, I think.
Talk about that. Plano, Texas, Ed, who is bisexual, to put it one way, or ambivalent about being gay, the other, we're not quite sure.
Right.
And here you were in Plano, Texas, as I read somewhere, you were the kid in high school who could do a really great gay voice.
Right. I was in touch with this sort of feminine side of myself in great part because I wasn't gay,
mind.
Right. Or according to anyone else, because no one was. That wasn't...
This is in the 90s.
Yeah. I mean, it wasn't that long ago, but it was also kind of a lifetime ago. As I recall, there was one guy in my high school, which was enormous, who everyone knew was gay and who walked around with, bright colors and was proud and heroic. And I remember thinking he was so much braver than I could have been. And so, it was easier to do the gay voice knowing that no one would think I was gay. And in fact, I remember distinctly this very popular girl who sat next to me in some class would never be friends with me for real, but she thought I was very funny, saying to me, "You do that too well." And that sort of stuck with me. And it has continued. It's something I've been thinking about a lot about lately, this idea that gay people are told not to be so big, not to be so flamboyant, don't be so soft.
Don't be yourself.
And, when I got on TV on Ugly Betty, I was playing a very gay, flamboyant, effeminate character.
After work, let's meet at Prune, because if I don't get a parsley and dandelion salad, I swear to Barbara, I'm going to throw a fit with the fury of 1,000 queens.
But I was unknown, so I had no problem going there. And there is something about once you're out.
You worried at a time that you were going to be typecast as a gay person. And as Harvey Fierstein shows, and as you demonstrate on stage, What does that mean? There's like a million versions of them.
I know. The idea that there's only one kind of gay person is such a small idea.
Mercedes Rule, playing Michael's mother. This woman is frightful in many ways because she just can't accept her own son. So how do you approach her?
Well, she simply doesn't think that homosexuality is socially or morally acceptable. That's how she was brought up to believe. And so the way into her and her attitude towards her son is that she's trying to get him to change for his own good so that he will be more comfortable in the world, that he might be able to have a family, get married, have children, have the good life that she has had. And he even says in the play, the life I want is the life she's had.
Do people say to you, who might see it now, this is impossible?
No. Interestingly enough, everybody sees not only is it possible, they see evidence of it everywhere. I mean, you know, there's still a great deal of homophobia.
When you do this intense scene, both of you at the end, you're having to walk away from someone you love, Mercedes, and your mother's turning her back.
Oh, I think we've reached out into some real pain. But, you know, she leaves, but I never feel like I'm leaving for good. Do you ever feel like I'm leaving for good?
No, not at all.
He's changed through the play, but so is she.
I was lucky. I didn't have the same experience that Arnold did. My parents were always really cool, and I have an older sister who's gay, and we got lucky. I don't think about myself in that scene so much as I think about people I know, or I think about other estrangements.
I try to love you for that, but you just won't let me. You've got to throw me in the gutter and rub my face in this. You have not said a sentence since I got here without the word gay in it.
Because it's who I am.
No. If that were all, you could stay in the bedroom where it belongs. No, you are obsessed with it. You're not happy unless everybody is talking about it. I don't know why you don't just wear a big sign and get it over.
All right, Ma, try to imagine the world the other way around. Try to imagine every book, every magazine, every TV show, every movie was trying to tell you that you should be homosexual.
Oh, please.
But you knew that you weren't. You knew that for you this was right.
No, stop. You're talking crazy.
No. What's crazy is that all these years I thought that justified my life to you.
I'm thinking, how many more people were your character, Mercedes, and now they may have changed and they're maybe coming to see you. They're going to see themselves.
My own dad was one of them. My own dad was one of six, one girl, five boys, Irish cop, you know, Bronx. And the youngest is gay. In fact, he just came last week with his husband. I call them the Unks. They have glasses chiseled called the Unks. But my dad and his brothers were very, very hard on my uncle for a long time. But my father was the one who came around and realized he had I must have had an epiphany, actually. But he reconciled very lovingly with his brother, thank God, before he died, and really accepted him entirely.
So your father's in your character, too. I mean,
yes,
you know.
Yes, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
And how did your unks like it?
They adored it. They loved it. Yeah.
And for them to see some of their brother in you.
Yes. Yeah,
wow.
Yeah.
But something that Harvey said when we did it off-Broadway last year is that when he took his mother to see the play for the first time, she said, "That's my mother." And for a long time, Harvey said, this is about my mother and her mother.
If I'm not mistaken, too, Harvey's brother came, and he said to Harvey quietly, "That really was Mom, wasn't it?" Because while Mom was still alive, it was her mother. But Harvey said, "Yeah."
Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Quick question. Did Harvey Fierstein give you any advice?
Well, the first day of rehearsal, he said, if this play doesn't embarrass you, you're not doing it right. And this is what we do. We get up on stage and show our souls. So the idea that we would be embarrassed by that at first was surprising to me. I thought, why would this embarrass me? I signed up. You know, why would I be embarrassed by this? But I get it now. It's not putting on a dress. It's the scene with her. That's the scene that's the most embarrassing. And I realized it when it was, I think, a late preview and off Broadway. Two very close friends of mine, who love me very much, came And when I thought about them watching me hear her say the things that she says, it destroyed me. And I was humiliated that they were seeing it. And that's when I realized what he was talking about.
Saying that you're kind of worth nothing. I mean,
well, yeah, but it's a sickness, you know, that you've chosen this for yourself, and that if I'd known, I wouldn't have bothered. And, you know,
having you
killed the father.
Yes.
Oh, and you're being gay killed your father. I think Mercedes' character says that, and then you land the thing that, oh my God, parents cannot take back. I wouldn't have had you.
Yeah. Which is. What is the most shocking thing to our audiences? I think when it was done back then, that wasn't surprising to people. It hits them over the head. When we pass each other backstage after the big fight scene, and we're beat.
We are beat. Sometimes we just hold each other for a second. Just for a second, in passing.
Mercedes Rule, Michael Urie, thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you.
Our pleasure.
And they are in the critically acclaimed revival of Torch Song, now on Broadway.